I greet you today with the words of Floyd W. Hawkins. The song entitled, I've Discovered the Way of Gladness. He's given his testimony. The song has two stanzas. The second stanza said, I've found the pearl of greatest price, eternal life so fair. 'Twas through the Savior's sacrifice I found this jewel rare. I've discovered the way of gladness. I've discovered the way of joy. I've discovered relief from sadness. 'Tis a happiness without alloy. I've discovered the fount of blessings. I've discovered the living word. It's the greatest of all discoveries when I found Jesus, my Lord. Today, we are going to continue looking at this matter of marriage or relationship. And I started to share with you about the key. There are keys that we need to have for the different rooms. And marriage relationship is like rooms. There are rooms that we need to be able to occupy to fully enjoy our relationship together. So today, I look at marriage as a vehicle which operates with an engine and transmission. Now, I remember when I was a young lad, very young lad, less than 10, there was an old car in the yard scrapped. It was in the Churchgate area. The neighbors, they had an old car, one of those old-time old cars. And it was scrapped in the yard. And I would get in that car and pretend as if I am driving. It had a wheel and it also had a gear shift. I believe if I could remember well, the engine would be the sound of my mouth. And I would use the shift to change gears. So I'll go down the road, and that was fun. When I was in my teens, I had the privilege to get in several vehicles and play like I was driving. And I would shift gears as to learn how to shift gears. And to me, that too was very easy. But when I was given the opportunity to actually start the engine and drive off the vehicle, I did learn what I never learned before, even though I thought I knew. I learned that if I don't put the clutch down to the floor, and if the gear shift is not in the right position, the gear will scrape and won't shift properly. So if you're driving a standard vehicle, the vehicle is designed for you to take the clutch pedal and push it to the floor before trying to shift the vehicle into any gear. And when you push it to the floor, then you'll take the gear shift and you'll go to the position that you would want, whatever gear it is. If it forces up and all the way to the left, then you'll come all the way to the left, clutch in, up. If second is straight down, clutch in, down. If third is halfway up to the right a bit and then up again, that you will do. And of course, you will know fourth will be down. So you would have to make sure that is lined up properly. And even if you got it lined up properly and the clutch is not in, it wouldn't go in gear. You're scrape, it'll scrape. The manufacturer knows that in order to bring those moving parts together, there must be a part known as a synchronizer that adjusts and aligns the gear to shift to the other gear without mesh or noise. Just like there is a synchronizer in a transmission, there is a synchronizer gear in marriage. And this gear, I've given it a label, and it is called unselfishness. What is the name of that synchronizer in marriage? Unselfishness. If two mature people come together in marriage, having a spirit of selfishness, they will find it very easy to offend. But if they have this spirit of selflessness, they will find it very easy to adjust. If immaturity and selfishness is brought into a marriage, that marriage will be filled with bad gears changing, and wherever people are, and you are, dear, it won't be long before they would hear the gears clashing, scraping. People would be able to pick up that relationship is not going very well. Notice, as long as the car was standing still, without the engine running and the wheels turning, it was all right. You cannot hear gears scraping when engine is not running and wheels are not turning. When two people are joined together in marriage, guess what? Engine begins to run and wheels begin to turn. Action begins. The more active they are, potentially, the more conflict can be expected. Conflict needs not to be fatal. Conflict in marriage is expected. You say conflict is expected in marriage, you better expect that in your marriage, there'll be times when there would be conflict. So don't be too surprised. It is amazing to note that God's way of doing things is different to ours. Man's way of getting is taking, while God's way of getting is giving, and giving a lot. In Luke 8, verse number 38, he said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." I know that many times we use this as for our giving to the Lord, our tithes, our offering. But he speaks in general. He said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." In other words, if you give love to someone, in return, you will get love from others. If you find yourself friendly to others, people will be friendly to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. He went ahead and he said, how it shall be given unto you. He said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, every time I read this scripture, I remember the days when we would go to the shop. We call it back then, you call it supermarket now. And we would buy sugar and they would put it in a brown paper sack. And they would weigh it, first of all, in the scale and then put their hands on the side of the scale and pour it in the paper sack. And when they pour it in the paper sack, they would stop, put the scale pan back on the scale and take the bag with the sugar and they would just tap it, let it lift it up and let it drop a little, and they will tap it, and they will put more in it until all can hold. So he says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, so shall man give in your bosom. When will they give in your bosom? When you give. He goes ahead and he says, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Many of us want people to treat us good. Many of us want our mates to treat us the best that they can. Well, the truth of the matter is, we need to do the same. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6, he says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And it doesn't matter what you are sowing. However you sow, that's the way you will reap. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Again, we use these scriptures a lot to speak about our giving, financial giving to the Lord, but it goes beyond that. Whatever you sow in life, we are sowing, and after sowing, there is reaping. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and verse number 4, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. My marriage, it is required of me by God to do 100% to make my wife happy, even if I don't get it in return. In your marriage, it is required by God that you give 100%. Whether to your husband or to your wife. You said, but pastor, you don't know how he treats me. cannot treat him based on how he treats you. You have to treat him based on how God treats you, because these words are coming from God. I know it's tough sometimes to give, and it seems as if in return there's nothing. But remember now, we haven't finished the race yet. We haven't completed the task yet. We are not home as yet. And one of these days, when we get home, if we do it for God, He will be the one to reward us. My time is up. May you have a great day. Thank you so much for listening. Share. I'll come back next morning and share with you that selfishness is universal. Lord, bless your people. Give them a good day now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.